Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 reads like this: Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then again, in 1 Corinthians, we read, Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. I heard the story of an atheist in court arguing that Christmas should not be considered a national holiday. Christmas, he says, was a Christian holiday. He said, the atheist does not have a holiday. And the judge replied to him, Oh, yes, you do. April the 1st. Well, most of us have read or at least part of the books of some of the well-known atheists in this world. Stephen Hawking was born in 1942. In 1963, when he was only 21 years old, he contracted a motor skills disease, which left him wheelchair-bound for the rest of his life and was given 2 years to live. Those who gave him the 2 years to live were scientists, medical scientists. They were wrong. They based their prognosis on what they knew, on the facts as they saw them. They were proven wrong. They didn't know everything. Scientists have been known to be wrong. And in a case like that, you're happy that they're wrong. He went on to Cambridge to become a brilliant researcher. And from 1979 to 2009, he sat in the chair held by Isaac Newton in 1663. Professor Hawking received over a dozen honorary degrees. Stevens is regarded as one of the most brilliant theoretical physicists since Einstein. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a man that smart with that much education yet not believing that there is a God? He explained that science now offers more convincing evidence for the existence of the earth and human beings than does the Bible. He is not afraid to come right out and tell you that he is an atheist. Stephen said, before we understood science, it was natural to believe that God created the universe. But now science has offered a more convincing explanation. He added, the Christian religions believe in miracles, but these aren't compatible with science. He goes on to argue that religion may have served some useful purpose for humanity in the past, but that it is now the greatest impediment to building a global civilization. Sam Harris, also an atheist, discusses in his book a wide range of topics, including secular spirituality, the illusion of self. He attempts to show that a certain amount of spirituality is important to understanding the mind. When I read the writings of these men with smart minds, I'm again reminded of what the Bible tells me, that knowledge puffs up, but charity edify if they're too smart to bow their knee to anyone, anywhere. May I pause here for just a few moments and tell you that all of those who work in the world of science does not believe like Hawking. There are those in the world of science who know that there is a God that created this universe. They know that it was God that put all of those heavenly bodies up in the heavens. But do I dare say that there are parallels in the Christian world also? Men who believe that God is no longer involved in the activities of this world, that mankind, through his education, through his worldly wisdom, have this Christian thing worked out. They know how this Christian life is supposed to work. They studied the Word of God, and like the scientists who have observed the heavenly bodies, have studied them for years, we have those in the Christian world who have studied the Word of God for years, and they feel like they understand it all. They feel like they have the answer. They also claim to have no need of the Holy Spirit divinely revealing things to them. They say there may have been a time in the past when the Holy Spirit served a useful purpose for the church. But now, those who would continue to teach that the Holy Spirit is still alive and working in the church today, many feel that this is the greatest impediment to building a great global church. The opinion of some of these is that there is no aspect of the Word of God beyond the reach of the human mind. They realize that in the past, the Holy Spirit did direct the workings of the church. He did direct his ministers. He did anoint them. But they are saying now, we are educated. We know better. We don't need some spiritual person to guide us in our ministry. We have learned how to do this. But I still remember the words of Jesus when he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Many who are involved in the teaching and preaching of the word no longer need this guide to lead them into all truth. They, through their education, through their much study, has discovered everything that God would have for them. They feel that the Holy Spirit has nothing new to add to their doctrine, to their life, to their ministry. Oh, how sad this is. Before I step away from the microphone today, I feel compelled to remind you of the words of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 14. The Holy Spirit said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You may understand those words in the book we call the Bible, but the natural man cannot receive them. He refuses to apply them to himself. Why? Because to the natural man, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.